I guess we would have to start with Bhagavatam. Yes, Bhagavatam, yes. The real light. Not the... See, as you have the Bhagavatam, the expanding from that, then you have the Brahman effulgence here.
Yes.
Like that. When then through that effulgence, then you can see that, you know, it being supported by here, then those points from here then are written over on this side.
Mm-hmm. It's like,
yes, yes, yes. And it's supported by. Because otherwise there's no point of the blank page if we're not going to write what's on the other page on it. Okay. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, page 122, chapter 26, the Aila Gita. We're all there? Yeah? We're good? You're always good. Okay. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, one may point out, but we see that even a sage who lives alone develops a disturbed mind. End quote. That is true. It arises from previous impressions of seeing a woman. The correct method is described. When a person does not direct his senses to women, English, right? One is seeing a woman is singular, but senses to women, even though it's the same spelling, it's plural. English is weird. The unmoving mind becomes calm. Right? So the senses goes there, but then you don't keep them there. You just direct it back to Krishna. Because that's the whole point, is that wherever the senses go, they're just brought back. Now, why is it difficult to bring it back? Because we have the idea that there may be some benefit there, something that you can glean from this. Right? We've already worked in the field, we haven't really gotten anything from it. But maybe there's a new angle, right? Something else that we should have done, you know? Does that make sense?
We are more mature now.
Yes, we're more mature, we can see more details, so therefore then we're looking at it from a different angle, the vichar, right?
Yes.
And so we don't want to give it up. That's the problem. Because the principle of enjoying is accepted, right? But if it's the principle of enjoyment separate from Krishna, it doesn't actually work. Why even bother with it? Because if it worked, why isn't everybody happy? Because they're all working at it very hard, right? There's so many intelligent, qualified people making so much effort, but they're not really becoming satisfied. So the principle that it doesn't actually help, that has to be accepted. Then it can be the mind goes to the sense objects, then you bring it back because there's nothing to gain there. Right? Does that make sense? That's what's going on. So it's not that... means, well, of course, one of the methods is point out the negative and this and that. You know, like you pointed out before. You know, just a bag of bones and blood and stool and urine, all these kind of things. You know, which is, you know, has its effectiveness like that. But at the same time is that, you know, how you say, you also have what I said, Bhakti John Prabhu said. When some girl had come to Mayapur, and I guess from the conversation, she must have been quite attractive, and so then someone brought up that this new devotee has come to Mayapur, you know, and all that, and then one of the brahmacharis says, yeah, but it's just a bag of stool and urine and this and that. And that, and then Bhakti John says, yes, but she's got all the stool in all the right places. Yes. So, the whole point is that if we give up the concept that we can enjoy, that there's something enjoyable in the material world, means just in general, that's the actual thing. The other one just makes it that the mind doesn't go there so easily.
Yes.
Right? It's a temporary thing, you know? Does that make sense? You know, it's like you, like if something happens, you know, you might put a Band-Aid on it, you know, while you're going to the doctor. And then the doctor will put a proper bandage and everything like that. So it's just this thing that there's problems with it is just so that you don't take it so seriously. But the real point is giving up the desire for sense gratification. So that means giving up the identity that I'm the enjoyer, the false ego. Right? When we were, question came up before about the Prabhupada Krishna is talking about the great sages and about the great devotees. And why those two categories? Because the knowledge and the lifestyle are the same. The difference being is in the great devotees, they don't have any ego that I'm a great sage. You know, it's not based on the mode of goodness. They've all given up the identities and passion and ignorance. But the sages still have that identity and goodness. Right? What is that? Vaikarika, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so they still have that false ego. While the great devotees, they don't. They just see themselves as servant of Krishna. But you'll see is that the knowledge they have, the practices, that's all good. So Krishna's just pointing out there's that step beyond. Because we'll all generally talk about the qualities of goodness. But they're important simply because they will bring you to pure goodness. That's the whole thing. Is that make sense? Yeah. Yes, we're good? Okay. So the unmoving mind becomes calm. Avishrabdha means untrustworthy. One cannot trust the five senses in the mind. So you can't trust because the mind will say, no, we'll just think about this and it'll be okay. But as Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out, is that the mind, having taken the senses all, you know, in a wild goose chase all over the place, then the mind can't actually be trusted. Does that make sense? You know, it's not that you trust, it's just you may not be afraid of it. You may not be controlled by that, but it doesn't mean you trust it. This is a lot of times not an understood thing. Just like we don't have bad things to say about, let's say, materialists, but it doesn't mean we trust them. Right? That they won't bring it to the point of control and enjoyment. They have to. That's what they do. But we may be able to see how they're servants of Krishna like this. But it doesn't mean... Does that make sense? You know, it's just like in forgiveness. You forgive, but it doesn't mean that you necessarily in the areas of, how you say, improper behavior that you trust. But you forgive. You know what I'm saying? So that's the area. So in those areas, then you're always careful.
Can we say that we have to work from the platform of intelligence?
Yes.
Otherwise, this cannot be.
No, because without using the intelligence, we don't use the power of reasoning. So when we show that Vedic psychological process of the mind, it goes through those five stages. So the middle is the middle one, and then apply, that's reasoning. But what we tend to do is kind of skip that, or don't put much effort into it. Information comes on whether we're so conscious of it or not. But then the second stage then is chitta, because why I make the distinction in the mind between the manas and the chitta is the manas is not necessarily conscious of what to do with it. It's just bringing in information. You know, it's like the cat bringing in, you know, all kinds of things into the house. Right? It just brings it in, right? You know, what you're going to do with it, that's that they're not thinking about it, right? So, the point is that these elements are coming in. Then the chitta is going to take that, and then looking at the memory from the intelligence, and what are the previous samskars on that, previous experiences, then at that point, you should then analyze. Right? You know, unless it's a, you know, Mack truck coming down the road and you're in the middle of the road, then don't stand and analyze. That's what deers do. They stand there and you know, with fixed attention on the headlights of the truck, just stare at it like that. Doesn't work out good for them, just in case you're wondering where we're going with that. So then you're supposed to analyze, well, how does this connect to Krishna? Right? It means if you have a spontaneous connection to Krishna, then that's fine. If the samskaras are such that now you have spontaneous attraction to Krishna, that's great. But if not, then that's where we use the rational process. So we analyze how will it connect to Krishna. And then with that vision, then depending on our identity, now if we're still thinking I'm the controller and enjoyer, there's a problem. But if we think, no, I'm servant of Krishna, then we're not going to take any options that are about sense gratification. We'll just take options that are in line with serving Krishna. Right? Then the senses will carry that out. Right? The manas will again work. And then that itself will then give a new experience. And so as these experiences, new experiences come up that are in connection with Krishna, then the samskaras that come from the memory are going to be about Krishna. Right? And so that's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, don't worry about the past. Otherwise you can dig up the old samskaras, you know, go into the closet, dig them out, you know, dust them off, or not as with, as is pleasing for the application. Does that make sense? So what he's saying here is that you're just seeing that there's, you know, what's the connection? What do I have to do with this? Right? Now, we have that determination. We're trying to function in that way. We're depending upon Krishna for the results of this. And we're thinking, no, by my determination, I'm going to make it happen. Then you're going to be doing that on your own for a long time. But if you depend upon Krishna, you're making the endeavor, but depend upon Krishna. And know that it'll only go away by Krishna's grace. Then at some point you get where you start to see the difference. Because Krishna says by tasting a higher taste, you give up the lower. Right? So it is a taste. It's a higher taste. It may not be, you know, how you say, transcendental ecstasy, but it's still a taste. Right? So then we start to see the devotional process is more, has more taste than whatever mundane things that we're, by our conditioning, that we take as important. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, yeah, so then we start to make adjustments. So that's then what's being brought out here.
If we remember always the principle that we are servant of Krishna and work to try to develop our application of that in our life.
Yes, yes. Yes. And so then the idea is to become fixed in that, be regular. It means that we do it once. Then the immeasurable benefit. But the point is we're talking about it, you can have the platform of eternal immeasurable benefit rather than occasional immeasurable benefit. So that's the thing is, since we're talking about the eternal platform, then we're trying to become steady. That's the whole thing. So when we're steady in devotional service, that's what then makes it good. Right? Then we're regularly doing this, regularly looking at this. Like heart rate's going down because it's so boring.
This is called when you drink water, you become sleepy.
Oh, okay. I thought it was just that. You're checking it. I mean, that's like, what is it? Yesterday we mentioned that in the class, someone brings up this ridiculous question. You know, and then everybody gets, you know, oh, okay, not so boring.
And also.
Yeah.
Start cheering up.
Huh?
Start cheering up.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, having thus chanted this song, Maharaj Puru Rava, eminent among the demigods and human beings, gave up the position he had achieved in the planet of Urvasi, his illusion cleansed away by transcendental knowledge. Right? And he understood me to be the supreme soul within his heart, and so at last achieved peace. An intelligent person should therefore reject all bad association and instead take up the association of saintly devotees. Right, so this is the primary point. Then we can apply in all those details that we were discussing before. But this is always the thing that we're looking for. Why that? Because then you're absorbed in Krishna. Right? And so, my devotees fix their mind on me and do not depend on anything material. Oh, wait. Yo, did we do that? Okay. And instead take up association of devotees whose words cut off the excessive attachment to one's mind. Right, so that's the things, the instructions, the words we get. That's the most important. That's what cuts through the maya. Right, other things it's not good. Right, you know, it's not about it's not that the moralistic things like that and the endeavors. That's what will cut through. It's the words of the acharyas. That's what cuts through, because you're talking about the chit potency. That's what cuts. Not Maya doesn't. How Maya's going to cut Maya, right? It doesn't work.
So maybe it is like it's sometimes we are a little afraid to go too close to the acharya.
Yes, but that's the point of the surrender. That's why we use intelligence, that we see it's actually a value to surrender. And then we move at a speed that we can relate to. So those little steps like that, but you always have to know what the standard is and try to go there. And go as much as you can. And then if you see it's a bit miserly, pull back a little bit. But only how much you need to be, again, comfortable. Then move forward again. That's the whole idea, is you just keep, oh, that's where the black's from. Okay. Why do I have that? What do I touch? And it's this kind of ink. Okay, I guess the black gloves are better, right?
You
don't show the ink.
You don't see.
Yeah, you don't see it. Yeah. Yes.
So we discussed a lot about...
Oh, so starting to... Then you just stopped. I just thought it was... Then we cut and you went like this. So I thought, okay, yeah, okay. But you were going to say something that... Okay. Go ahead.
We discuss a lot about principle and details.
Yes.
So there's that saying that the taste is in details. So how do we understand that?
In connection with the prior. See, in here you say principle and details.
Yeah.
Now let us just look at, remember we had effect, cause, and remote cause. Effect, immediate cause, and remote cause.
Yes.
So let us use that same kind of formula. And so then we're going to use detail, principle,
yeah.
And then we're going to call both of those as secondary. Then we're going to Krishna as primary.
Okay.
You understand?
Yeah.
So as long as the details are in connection with the primary, then you will get a spiritual taste. But if we don't connect it there, then you'll only get material taste. But as long as a result ultimately is given to Krishna, then we'll still advance. But the problem is we're cultivating material taste at the same time as we're cultivating the spiritual. If we're not careful, the weeds grow up. And if we don't notice the weeds, then we get choked by that. Mm. You know? Is that what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it can come up so strongly.
It's a very difficult situation.
Yes. Yes, because we're so used to something. The problem is the identities we have. So we have to give up those false identities. That's what it's mentioning. It's not that we give up that we have no identity. We say, oh, then we have nothing. No, we're a servant of Krishna. And those, you don't have to, it's like, you don't have to be a fancy car driver to drive a fancy car. But the problem is people with the they identify with it. Because it's like we're sitting in Dubai. You're sitting in traffic. In front of you, you know, will be a Ferrari or, you know, a Koenigsegg or one of those kind of things like that. Lamborghini and all that. And everybody's moving along at, you know, 5-10 kilometers an hour stopped. Do we need one of those cars like that? No. We're just driving. But they identify with that car. So it's because they have that identity, then when they get out and they feel so good, and everybody else just gets out of their car and closes the door and walks off. So this guy gets out with, you know, panache and the whole thing. And You know what I'm saying? So that's the problem, is we think that without the identity we can't work with it. No, you can work with it actually more easily if you don't have the identity. That's the mode of ignorance. Mode of ignorance makes us think it's no, without tech, like yesterday, without technology, without that, no, it doesn't require that. You can use technology, but we're saying life will be improved. But there are people without technology that are doing fine. You know, so there's a good chance that the grandfather, who doesn't use so much technology, and his interaction with his grandson, he's actually getting more depth out of it than his children, you know, means, you know, and the parents of the child, that are totally absorbed in technology. Like that. So that's the whole thing, is they just are blinded by these false identities. Like that. There's a good chance the person is probably in the technological field. You know, he's probably not, you know, let's say a chef or an artist or something. You know? Because otherwise, why would you be so stuck on that? So it's the false identities that get in the way. But it doesn't mean our situation changes. Just like if we give up the false identity, I'm a grihastha, doesn't mean I don't are not situated in and perform the functions of a grihastha. You still get the experiences, but now they're not based on that I'm the, you know, controller and enjoyer of this. I'm a servant. I happen to be in this is the situation I serve Krishna from. Does that make sense? So that's that we get scared, like we're talking here, we get scared of going too close to these words because we're afraid we'll lose our identity. But you actually lose a false identity and get a real identity. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like, let's say, you've been playing for a while and you've amassed millions of Monopoly, you know, dollars here, like that. And I say, give that up, I'll give you some rupees. No, I have all these, you know, like that. You know, what do I be? Who will I be? You know, I'm the lord of, you know, Boardwalk or whatever it is, you know, depending on your locale, they have different places that are important, you know? No?
Yeah,
so that's the thing, is that the situation doesn't change because we're worried about the situation. All that's being said is change the consciousness, change the identity. Then it works very nicely.
I guess that identity is closely connected with the sense gratification that we're getting.
Yes,
why we're so afraid. Because although we know, you know, so many things about devotional service, we can function on that identity yet.
Yes, yes.
Because then as soon as we forget about Krishna, then we're back into our, you know, material identity.
Yes,
and
yes.
We just, because it's easy, it's kind of, you
it's
know.
It's easy. But the thing is it's easier to function without it, because it's a burden. Because with it comes so much anxiety. All your pleasure and pain come from that false identity. No false identity, these same situations don't give you any problem. You just deal with it. Something happens, you just deal with it. If someone's very expert in something, a problem comes, they just deal with it. Someone's not so expert, they get flustered and this and freaking out. And so it just means, it's still, you don't get affected by it. But you're functioning in it, but you don't get affected. So that's what's being offered. But we have to, and that faith has to be. So slowly, that's why it's called a gradual process. Because then, you know, increment by increment, we become convinced. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai. Sama Veta Bhaktivinoda ki. Jai. 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 J